Welcome to the Families for Life podcast with Brian and Ryan, a podcast of Oak Hill Baptist Church.
On this episode, we're going to be talking about keeping the faith.
Hey, Brian, how's it going today?
Man, it's going good. We're here in your office hanging out. So I'm awesome right now.
Well, I tell you, this is an exciting episode. This is kind of one that we've been working towards. Mm-hmm. I just think it's going to be really important. It's going to have lots of lists and stuff in it, but hopefully people will stick with us because, you know, it's really important to kind of think through some of these things. And you know, once again, we're using Settle for Nothing Less. Mm-hmm. It's from Lifeway Kids resource. They went through Lifeway Research to get a bunch of information for us. And really the idea is how can our students and children hold on to their faith? Or really, to put it another way, how can they make their faith their own?
Yeah, that's right. Well, and I think that's really an important aspect of keeping the faith is you have to have faith, mm-hmm. Your own faith in order to keep it. And so, but yeah, this is going to be a great episode where we're really going to start dealing with some of the things that are so important for this, which is really, I mean, a big part of what this podcast is even about is just helping parents as they're discipling their children for a lifetime. And so I am excited to get into some of these things that we've got laid
right
out.
Yeah, and I do think there is a little bit of an issue or a problem. I've seen it being in family ministry, being in student ministry for several years now. For some reason, you know, students do fall away the church. It seems like over in late high school or in college, you know, we kind of, and youth pastors kind of call it the senior fade.
That's right.
You know, and some of it is harmless. Kids get busy with school and relationships and jobs and all kinds of things. They're thinking about their future, which is fine. And them, you know, attending youth group or not is not really a marker of their faith. But I do see a correlation with those that kind of fade away.
Yeah.
Their faith kind of fades away as well. Have you noticed that?
Absolutely. And that's one of the things. There are some students that you'll see fade away from the youth group, but that's because they're actually kind of fading into the church as a whole, which is actually really good. I mean, that's kind of the hope, is that it's not like the youth group is seen as actually the church and they are really just like graduating up into some of these older groups where they have, you know, peers now. They're now peers with these adults. But the majority usually are people who are actually fading away from the church as a whole. They're not just fading away from the youth group. They're fading away from the church as a whole. And that's the real problem. That's the thing that we're actually talking about, I think.
Right. Yeah. And so when we think about this Nothing for Less, it is backed up by research. And of course we know research is not the be all end all, but
right.
As we will see, not to my surprise, but these things are backed up by scripture. I mean, who would have known? Scripture tells us exactly what we need to do.
It's like the Bible knows what it's talking about. But that's, I mean, that you're right. Like research, the reason why research is so important is because it helps us to see the reality. And like you said, it should not shock Christians that what is real is already represented in the Bible.
Right.
And it's actually really encouraging to know
right.
that the Bible's right. You can trust it.
That's right.
It encourages your faith.
That's right.
Yeah, so.
Well, today we're going to look at 15 spiritual influencers. Mm-hmm. Okay, so these are things that are either have a positive or negative impact on a child's spiritual growth and will help determine if they're going to hold on to their faith as they become an adult. You know, but before we get to that, Lifeway had a really interesting, list of things that didn't make the list, that they had very little influence.
This was a really good thing for me to see because it's easy for me to hang on to some of these things that we're going to talk about, the things that didn't make that big of an impact or move the needle of whether of your spiritual health. And I'm like, wow, some of these things are the things I would champion really hard.
And yeah. And these are, these are good things. So when we say these things, you know, and we won't go through the whole list because there's a bunch of
them. A lot.
We'll try to post this in the show notes. But when we say these things, they are not bad. They just, they didn't move the needle on the research at all. They just didn't influence. And each individual family may find that, hey, that's there's something important here that I want to hold on to because it's important to my family.
That's right. And that's the thing we want to be careful not. So we're not saying that these things don't matter at all. What we're just saying is that they are not the most important things necessarily, but that they can be, that they can be used within each family. Like you and I, our families are going to just be a little bit different.
Right.
And the point for us is to know what the essential things are for right. our faith and hold on to those and use those things in our daily lives as a family. Right. Using some of these things that are not, you know, essential, that but that are still important to our own families.
Right. It's just like we talked about 2 weeks ago. We have a biblical framework for what a family should mm-hmm. should look like, you know, but how that's fleshed out is going to be different for each family.
That's right.
You know,
and some of these things are what that fleshing out is.
Right.
And so it's okay if you, you know, really love doing this as a family, that's not a problem.
Right. So what is one of the things that stuck out to you on this list? What's something that really just jumped out?
Yeah, there were a couple, but the probably the biggest one for me was the fact that families who eat meals together at least once a week, that isn't super significant for whether or not a child keeps their faith, mm-hmm. which just blew my mind because that was actually something that I would regularly say is extremely important for the health of, you know, a family or your faith. That's something my wife and I hold very sacred in our house is that we eat meals together.
Yeah, there's a lot of positive research and a lot of positive things to doing that. And I think every family should try to incorporate as many family meals as possible because, you know, that's the time that that our family has to kind of check in on one mm-hmm. another and find out how their day's been and things like that.
And that's where this is weird because, like, this is obviously a good thing.
Right.
And so what we're not saying is that this doesn't matter at all. Mm-hmm. It just is not the same. It's not on the same level as the most important things. If you're eating meals together, like some people, they can have family meals together and that could be terrible.
Right.
You know, depending on what they're actually prioritizing at that time.
Right.
It might actually be an incredibly discouraging time if they're not focusing on the most important things
right.
already. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of where this is helpful.
Right.
So that's important. But what about you? That was the big one for me. Did you have any?
Well, one of the things, especially when it comes to children's ministry, that really spoke out to me is one of the things that didn't really have an influence is whether parents did or did not allow screen time, media, you know, which we all know we need to be vigilant. You know, my kids do have tablets. They have, we have parental controls and things locked down. So they, you know, they can't just go surf the internet or watch whatever video they want. However, you know, we argue about media a lot. And I wonder if, you know, that argument it's not that important. If your family wants to limit screen time, great. Mm-hmm. If your family doesn't, I mean, I think there are some really wise things about Absolutely. How we approach screen time, but it is not the be all end all. Your child will not turn out horrible if you allow them to look and watch some videos on the iPad.
That's right. You know? And I think the big thing is, you know, with that, again, this is a good thing to limit temptation, obviously,
of
right?
Of course.
But at the end of the day, it's really like if your kid wants to watch something, like they're smart, like they're going to find out. You know, like my 1.5-year-old already knows where the balloons popping game is on the phone, you know,
yep.
And I'm like, you know, oh, my goodness, this is crazy. And he's already begging to watch TV in the afternoon. And there's nothing wrong with some of the shows that we show him. But where's his heart?
Right.
That's the, then that's again. So there's like, what are the essential things for his faith?
Right. Right.
So
what else? Was there another one that stuck out to you?
Yeah. This one was a huge one as well, where parents, who acted differently at church versus at home. Mm. And I was shocked to see that was on the list of things that did not really, wasn't super significant in whether or not a child's faith was kept throughout life. Cause I just think, you know, hypocrisy in the home is absolutely dangerous, and it does. And I've talked to people who have experienced that, where their parents are one way at church and another way at home. But you know, as I got to think about this, I also know many people who their parents, they would say, my parents don't live like Christians at home.
Right.
But it's funny, they're saying that as in like, and I think that that's ungodly. Like, they actually recognize it, and it's really them saying like, I'm holding on to God more than I'm holding on to my parents,
right.
Mm-hmm. Which is getting at right. the point that we're trying to make here is
Well, and one of our influencers that is a positive influencer will kind of deal with this a little bit.
Right.
But the specific, you know, living, being one way in public, mm-hmm. being one way at home, you know, that didn't really have that much of an influence
right
on the child.
And it doesn't mean that, yeah, like you have to have the positive influence, the one that actually make the most right. change in order for these ones to not make that much of
right.
a difference.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So,
well, another one that really jumped out at me was that families went on vacations or had fun outings or even one-on-one, you know?
Yeah.
Again, I think these things are important.
So good.
But if your family is not in a place where they can do a bunch of one-on-one things, you know, or, you know, this is where social media can be really bad because, you know, people, I have friends that post things all the time where it's like, oh, I'm out with my daughter doing a daughter date, or, you know, hey, we're going on vacation here, and I'm happy for them. I'm excited. But the reality is not everyone has the money or the time to be able to do those things like that.
Yeah.
So it's actually super encouraging to know that, listen, you need to prioritize time with your family.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if you don't get the one-on-one daddy-daughter dates or the mommy-son dates, like don't feel guilty about that.
Right.
You know, don't let Satan rob you of the time you do get to spend with them.
That's right. It looks different in every family.
That's
right. Really what this is all coming down to. Like real genuine faith in the life of the child and the life of your children. It's going to look different in every family.
Right.
But there are some commonalities that we're going to point out.
Right. Yeah. So. Well, and I love this quote that they had in the book. It said, parents, we want to protect our kids and also lead our kids. So what does it mean when the things we assume will help us win at both of those goals leave us empty? It means we're being offered freedom instead. Rather than guard our hearts and hands in fear, God is inviting us to recognize our limitations and trust Him. He is offering us a chance to take off the pressure to perform and eliminate all the guilt we feel over doing the wrong things and messing up the right ones. He's reminding us to focus on the best rather than getting bogged down even with good things. He's redeeming us and offering grace when we choose good things in place of His best for us.
That's so good. Because that's really just pointing out that we get so busy trying to do the right thing all the time. It's like trying to just keep all the rules, do all the things that everyone says is what you need to do to be a good parent.
Right.
And even things like this podcast, like people can listen to this and hear what we say and be like, oh, now I got to do that. Add that to my list of
right.
how to be a good parent. It's like, no, that's not what God is saying.
Right.
He's saying, It's actually a little bit simpler than that.
Right.
Here's just a handful of things to focus on rather than the insane amount of rules we put on our to-do list.
Right. It reminds me of, have you ever seen somebody do like a plate spinning type thing?
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
And it kind of reminds me of like, okay, they'll get a couple plates going and then they'll start doing more. They always got to kind of go back and wiggle the pole to keep the other plate spinning. Mm-hmm. At some point, you know, they'll have 10 or 12 plates in the air and they just can't keep them all spinning.
Keep them all going.
And it's kind of like parenting. Mm-hmm. You know, we get so many plates spinning, so many expectations, so many, you know, busyness. I mean,
fears,
all of the things were spinning in the air. And at some point they all come crashing down,
which is terrible for the family. I mean, right. That's actually destructive.
Right.
It's not helpful. And so it's really important that we let go of some of this stuff.
So, right. So I'm telling, let's let all the plates fall.
Right.
Let's put our focus on Christ and living what Christ-centered, gospel-centered parenting looks like. And the other things will kind of shake out in the wash. Okay, so let's talk about the 15 influencers of spiritual health. Now, we're going to sum these up in a top 10 that we're going to discuss over the next few weeks. But you know, before we jump into this, I want to remind us it's first of all, the gospel that makes the difference, right? This is the presupposition we walk into this with, that the only way kids can have faith and keep the faith is through the power of the gospel.
That's it. And one of the, conversation I had with somebody one time, we were just talking about how one of the big reasons why people leave the faith or leave the church or whatever is simply because, like I said earlier, they don't have faith. They don't have the gospel. And so it's so important that we really focus on Jesus,
right,
in the life of our family.
Right. So, you know, maybe we'll come back and revisit that at some other time, like about children.
Right.
And how to coming to the gospel, yeah. Students, you know, a lot of times students come back to Jesus, you know, right. Things like that. We can talk about that at a future date. But but here, let's talk about what the smallest impact of influences are. So some positive, some negative. These had a small impact, but enough.
But noticeable.
But noticeable, yeah. So we'll go through these ones pretty quick because we're going to break these down in more detail in coming weeks. But the first one, a negative, is the child did not want to go to church as a teen. That's a negative. A positive influence, a child's best friend was an influence to follow Christ while growing up. Another positive is the child was female. For whatever reason,
interesting.
For whatever reason, females tended to keep their faith more than males. That's what the research showed. Mm-hmm. Another positive is children connected with several adults at church who intentionally invested in them.
Yeah.
And then a negative was a child was rebellious growing up. So that's about half of the smallest impact list. Anything on that list so far jump out at you?
Yeah, I think the child connecting with several adults, that's one thing that I really try to emphasize as much as I can. That's what I tell my youth leaders. Hey, you're not here to just do stuff. You're here to build relationships.
Right.
That's what I really want because yeah. It helps.
Yeah, I mean, we need, you know, parents are in there in the mix every day. And then sometimes you just need that other adult, that Christian adult that That's can right. come in and they can say the exact same thing that a parent mm-hmm. has been saying or does yep. say. But for whatever reason, when That's the right. when the student hears it from that other mentor, that That's other right. adult in their life, it clicks.
I always tell, this is for me, this is the Uncle Jimmy effect is what I say, because it was my Uncle Jimmy who
right.
I hung out with him. We rode bikes and stuff whenever I'd go visit my grandparents, and he would come over and he would say literally word for word exactly what my mom had just told me. And I'd be like, man, that was the coolest thing I'd ever learned. And my mom would be like, I just told you that. And I'm like, but Uncle Jimmy said it, and so it's awesome. And that's why it's so important to have those other mentors in your kids' lives so that they hear the same thing from somebody else that they might just be listening to a little bit more intentionally. It's unfortunate, but it's the way it is.
That's right. That's exactly right. Okay, so the rest of the list is a positive influence is parents typically asked for forgiveness when they messed up. So that kind of goes back to that hypocrisy thing we talked about. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily that they live differently, but they admitted when they messed up. And that has a huge impact. Parents, we cannot act like we have it all together, that we're perfect. I remember growing up, every parent that I knew, every adult that I knew, we kind of had a presupposition that they were perfect.
Yeah.
When you become an adult, you realize
they knew nothing.
No, that they're also sinful. They are also figuring this out. You know, that's mm-hmm. the big secret is parents are figuring this out, too, as we go along.
I remember a friend of my dad's telling me about her father having passed away. And she said, wow, now I'm kind of in the place of my father. And I realized, like, you know, he was a great man, but he did not, you know, he didn't know what he was doing either.
Right. Exactly.
So we're all in this together.
So another positive is parents pointed out biblical principles in everyday life. A negative was a child regularly listened to secular or popular music. Mm-hmm. A positive was a child had siblings. And a negative was the family dropped in frequency of family church service attendance while growing up.
So it's just going to church as a family, normal Sunday morning church.
A drop in frequency has a negative impact. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. So those are the smallest impacts. So let's look at the moderate impact. There's four of these, okay?
Mm-hmm.
This is the moderate impact are a child regularly spends time in prayer while growing up, a child regularly served in church while growing up, the child listened primarily to Christian music, and the child participated in church mission trips and projects.
Yeah. Well, man, these are so good. They're kind of like the medium, these are getting to be much more important for you to pay attention to. And for me, like listening primarily to Christian music, growing up, I used to think that was bogus.
Sure.
I really did. I thought that, well, it's like, oh, I just like the music. I'm only listening to it for the music and the words don't affect me. I made that argument all the time until one day I found myself listening to different types of music. Mm-hmm. And I was like listening to Christian music, just kind of naturally, not out of a conviction. And I noticed my temperament changed.
Right.
My emotions changed. I did not notice how much I was being affected by the music I was listening to.
Right.
Even though I was trying not to pay attention to the words.
Right.
It's crazy how.
Yeah. Yeah. And we'll address this in a later episode, but I tell you, I'm kind of an audiophile. I love music.
Yes, you are.
It's a big part of my life, but I'll tell you, when I was a teenager and I just became a Christian, shifting from listening to secular music to Christian music was huge for me.
Yeah.
And finding Christian music that sounded good, that I liked was
right.
big. You know, I remember, I got the Newsboys Take Me to Your Leader back
yeah.
when Newsboys were good.
I love that
okay?
one.
Okay.
Yes.
Not when they're pop, when they were good.
Yep.
Rock and roll. No, but as somebody who liked rock and grunge, like mm-hmm. I got that album and I wore it out. That was one yep. of my most favorite CDs still to this day.
Yeah, same.
And it encouraged me in my faith so much that it's just one of my top 10 albums because it just encouraged me in my faith.
DC Talk, man, back in the same
yeah.
time era, mm-hmm. and Jesus Freak
was another big one.
I actually found an unopened, it's still wrapped CD
right.
Case of that album. And I'm like, we're keeping this.
It marks you. It literally marks you. You can listen to that. It takes you back to a time and a place.
That's
so
right.
We'll talk more about that, but I really think that's important.
It's gonna be good
stuff. Right. So, you know, you can see there's things like spiritual disciplines in here. Service.
Yeah.
You know, is big. Service is huge. Missions
That's,
is
yeah.
big. It's huge. Prayer. So, I mean, we're thinking, when we think about our children, we've got to drive them towards those foundational, those foundational spiritual disciplines.
That's right.
They will not cling to their faith if they do not have that foundation.
That's one of the things that's cool about, like, you and I get to work together a lot on our missions stuff here at the church.
Right.
And like, when we're even planning our middle school mission week this summer, and we're just thinking through, like, we're going to get these middle schoolers to do a bunch of stuff that we talk about a lot.
Right.
And they get to put into practice the things that they hear. And that's just monumental to be able to hands-on do the things that they hear all the time is one of the ways that we learn. I mean, we just learn it and we hold and we retain things so much better that way.
Right. So that is a surprise. None of this list surprises me
at all.
Maybe the Christian music a little bit, but so the largest impact category only had one influencer in
it. Wait for it.
And it by far and away, I'll try to post this chart in the show notes as well. But it far in the way it influenced, it was like double or triple any
yeah.
of the other influencers.
Yeah. Yep.
So do we need a drum roll?
Can you guess what it is? Child regularly read their Bible while growing up.
The Bible, crazy. Man, it goes back to the scriptures, right?
It's something so simple, but so profound.
So this was another thing in my, just anecdotally from my own life. Mm. I was given a devotion, a devotional book. I still have it in my office right over there. That yellow Youth Walk book.
Yeah, I see it.
I was given that devotional and it really got me into the word, and I began to read the word through that devotional as a 16-year-old.
Yeah.
And that's funny. Yeah. And I started, and my youth pastor actually started giving me devotionals, my parents, and that's what prompted me to get into the word. And then I began to read the word on my own without a devotional book. And I began to do my own studies and read books and try to put together these things in my mind.
That's almost like, so very similarly, around 16, I had some friends that went to my uncle's church who were reading a book, a Christian book, and they were like, man, you got to read this book. And so I was like, okay, because these guys were cool and I wanted to do what they were doing. And so I read this book, and in the book, the guy was just saying, like, you know, the essence of life is being with God. Mm. And the way that you be with God every day, the way you walk with God in the garden is by spending time in his word and letting him talk to you. And as a 16-year-old, I heard that and I was like, that's why I need to read my Bible, because I'm spending time with God. And I started doing it, and I just grew exponentially from there. Yeah. It was amazing.
If there's anything we can encourage our children and our teenagers to do, is to get into the word.
Absolutely.
And again, we're teaching them, it's not necessarily about the amount that you're reading, but it's the quality of what you're reading and trying to study. I mean, if our kids and our teenagers read a couple verses every day and think about it. Now, I'm not saying we cherry pick verses out to feel, but we got to read all of it at some point. We got to take the rebuke with, you know, the encouragement, right?
That's right. Well, let me put in a shameless plug right there. I'm actually making a series of videos called Prime for Study. And the whole point of that is to get people studying the Bible for themselves. Instead of like somebody else studies the Bible and then tells me what I'm supposed to think, it's like you are studying the Bible, and I just help you think about, prepare yourself for that, and then like give you some, like, here's a verse, here's what you should read today, and then what you should read tomorrow. That's on YouTube.
YouTube.com/OakHillBC.
Yeah, check those out, and you know, drive your students to that, because I really think it would help. And they're really short. Normally, like, it's like 5 to 10 verses a day that I'm suggesting. And that's what we're saying, is it's really just like going through scripture and letting God speak to you.
Right.
That's why you grow in your faith, is because you're trusting in God, who you are spending time with every day.
Right. Yeah, I love this quote by A.W. Tozer.
Oh, yeah.
It says, "Nothing less than the whole Bible can make a whole Christian." I mean, that just speaks to me in a profound way, that we need the Bible. We need the scriptures. We cannot be discipled. We cannot have faith. We cannot know the gospel without the scriptures.
You can't, because that's the whole point, is it's a relationship with God.
That's right.
And you and I can't have a relationship unless we talk to one another. And so if I'm talking to you and you're not listening to me, I'm probably going to stop talking eventually.
That's right.
And so, like, we need to be listening to God in order for him to be, you know, in order for us to have this close relationship with him.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. So what are our big takeaways from this? That spiritual disciplines really matter. And we as adults need to build those into our lives. And we need to encourage our children in that too, especially as they become older. You know, the older they become as teenagers, on into, you know, when they start spending time with friends at the mall or the movies, and they start driving and they start working, they're being influenced by the world in a huge way. And it's not just school anymore. It's the whole world is influencing them.
Right.
You know, and even earlier than that, because of the internet and other things like that. So we push back against that by encouraging them to read the Bible, to do devotions and do things like that.
And it starts in such small ways. And this is where parents, I think, get really overwhelmed. It's like, you don't have to like come up with this super intense formulation of how to have your kids be in the spiritual disciplines. For instance, you want your kids to be, you know, have clean hygiene, right? You want this for them as they grow up, and you're going to help them that. How does that start as a little young child? You brush their teeth every day, right? You start small with something that's like normal. Well, similarly with a young child, for those of you who have young children, pray with your kid every day. It's so simple. It takes less than 5 minutes.
Right.
Pray with them every day. You know, read them a story from a Bible book every day, and that will translate. And this is the point that I'm making here, is that don't wait for your kid to get too old to try to introduce them to these things. Because then they're going to say, that's lame, and I'm not going to do it.
Right.
But when you've been doing this for a long period of time in small and even subtle ways, it's just normal.
Right. It's just part of your daily life. Yeah.
And it's so beautiful to see that happen.
So over the next few episodes, we're going to discuss, it breaks down into 10 categories of spiritual influencers. So we're going to break these down over the next few episodes and really talk about what are some practical ways, just like what you said, for how to implement some of these things even early on.
That's right.
And then how you can transition them to do these things on their own. Because ultimately, my goal is for my kids to take their faith and own it.
Yeah. I'm not brushing my kids' teeth for the rest of their life.
Right. Exactly. I want them to be able to do these things on their own and to live this out as they go into adulthood.
That's exactly what we want. So I hope that this podcast has been really helpful for you.
Yeah, I know it's really encouraged me, and I hope it encourages other parents out there to make the main thing the priority in their families. So thanks for joining us today.
We'll see you next time. Right. Yeah, because Jesus is the one. He can spend 100 billion plates,
right,
without letting a single one drop.
That's exactly right.
Was that weird?
Oh, man. Okay. Let's break here.
So, yeah.
Let's break here. And then we'll...
I'm losing my train of thought.
We're losing more than that.
So there's that.
The train's off the rails.